Welcome to Falun Gong News Direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include Ottawa, Canada. Lawmakers praise truthfulness, compassion, forbearance at celebration of World Falun Dafa Day. New Zealand. Foreign minister bowing to China influence causes an uproar. A display of goodwill on Dam Square in the Netherlands. International forum raises awareness of organ harvesting atrocities in China. Celebrating Falun Dafa Day at the University of Michigan. And Liaoning court strangles attorney protesting mistreatment of client. Now for the stories.
Ottawa, Canada. Lawmakers praise truthfulness, compassion, forbearance at celebration of World Falun Dafa Day. 15 senators and members of parliament attended a celebration of the upcoming 16th World Falun Dafa Day on Parliament Hill in Ottawa. The lawmakers praised the teachings of Falun Gong, truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, for their contribution to society and encouraged practitioners to continue their peaceful resistance against the persecution in China. Falun Gong practitioners contribute significantly to Canadian society. Conservative MP and former Environment Minister Peter Kent said Falun Gong has brought spiritual fulfillment and good health to millions of people around the world through its gentle exercises, meditation, and core tenets of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. Practitioners of Falun Gong in Canada are fully law-abiding citizens and residents who contribute significantly, greatly, I must say, to Canadian society, he said. In his speech, Mr. Kent mentioned a practitioner recently sentenced in China, Li Xiaobo, who is the father of a Canadian citizen. He said the Canadian government consistently calls on the Chinese regime to protect the rights of all Chinese citizens, including Falun Gong practitioners. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance makes the world a better place. Several MPs emphasized on the importance of the principle of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. MP Judy Sugrow said, "This principle bodes well for Canada and the world, because when the world follows the Falun Dafa three key words, truth, compassion, and tolerance, the world will be a better place," she said. "You can count on me for support in promoting the values of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance that I know that you promote throughout the world," said Conservative MP Stephen Woodworth, a founding member of the Parliamentary Friends of Falun Gong. Conservative MP Joy Smith, "Truth, compassion, and tolerance. What a lovely genre to put forth in front of people all over the world. So congratulations to the Falun Dafa practitioners all across Canada on the 23rd anniversary of the introduction of Falun Dafa to the public," she said. Falun Dafa has brought commendable principles, as I spoke about earlier, of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance to Canada and to the world. Through the pursuit of spiritual enlightenment, harmonization, and peaceful exercises, millions of Falun Dafa practitioners have received a healthier mind, body, and spirit. Liberal MP Erwin Kotler, who is also the vice chair of the Parliamentary Friends of Falun Gong, called upon the Chinese government to respect the very values that underpin the Falun Dafa, the values of truth and compassion and tolerance and forbearance. Values that underpin me and my family in our own work since involvement with Falun Gong, which goes back 16 years ago. Mr. Kotler said, "That is the whole nature and purpose of the Falun Dafa. You bring the benefits of health, of culture, of the values of compassion and truth and forbearance for humanity as a whole. We share it with you, we will work with you, and we will not relent until the rights of the Falun Gong, along with the rights of all the Chinese, are secured in accordance with law and our common humanity. Standing together to end the persecution." All of the MPs condemned the 16-year-long persecution of Falun Gong in China and promised to continue their efforts to end it. former MP David Kilgore discussed the state-sanctioned organ harvesting from Falun Gong practitioners in China. He and his colleague, David Mattis, drew the conclusion from the evidence they collected that for 41,500 transplants done in the year up to 2005, the only plausible explanation for sourcing is Falun Gong. Carrying the torch outside of China, several guests praised Falun Gong practitioners for their efforts of peaceful resistance. MP Craig Scott said, "I'd like to commend all of you for carrying the torch outside of China. Your efforts to educate and make everybody more aware of the persecution in China, effectively since 1999, has made a huge difference to that awareness. I think it's important for you all to know that apart from your main purpose, being here and your main purpose in life, to follow your spiritual beliefs, you are all engaged in a major effort to increase consciousness to another level. Your struggle is not just a struggle for Falun Dafa, for your brothers and sisters. It's a universal struggle. You always give me tremendous inspiration when I see you gathered here on the lawn in Parliament Hill, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for you being here today," said MP Rob Anders. He believes that the best way to help to change the situation is to change the hearts and the minds of the regime there in China, to open them up to the light, and to change the circumstances of those practitioners who suffer behind this bamboo curtain. "I think of the things that we need to do that you have been doing, the demonstrations, the vigils, the petitions, the boycotts, sit-ins, occupations, creation of parallel institutions. Some of these things we've done. Other things I think could be very useful."
New Zealand, Foreign Minister bowing to China influence causes an uproar. If members of Parliament want to attend Falun Gong-related events, then they should be able to, said the Falun Dafa Association of New Zealand after an email was mistakenly sent by New Zealand's foreign minister to members of Parliament on May 5th. In the leaked email, which was intended only for National Party MPs, Foreign Minister Murray McCauley told MPs not to attend a World Falun Dafa Day, May 13th, celebration. The Chinese embassy is likely to monitor attendance at events and can be expected to protest officially should ministers, members of parliament, or other officials be present, the email said. The media may also take an interest in ministers' attendance. Given the sensitivities of this event, MFAT's advice is ministers and MPs should not attend World Falun Dafa Day events. The Falun Dafa Association in New Zealand said in its statement on Wednesday, "The Chinese Communist Party has no right to tell elected members of parliament what they can attend. This is a free and democratic society where elected members of parliament should be able to freely exercise their own decision-making capacity." The email leak was reported in most major online media outlets, on national radio, and in the country's major broadsheet newspaper. Politicians from the opposition criticized the government for catering to the interests of the Chinese Communist Party. The Labour Party's foreign affairs spokesman David Shearer said to the press, "It is outrageous to warn MPs off from attending events. It should not be dictated to by Murray McCauley and his ministry because they feel it might upset another country. New Zealand has a proud history of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and an independent foreign policy. It should be Kiwis and Kiwis only who decide where they go and who they associate with," said Shearer. Greens MP Kennedy Graham stands with Shearer. "I have a fundamental problem with the executive branch of government presuming to advise members of the national legislature what to do," Mr. Graham said on News Talk ZB. Carrie Dorr, a lawyer for the New Zealand Falun Dafa Association, said to Radio New Zealand, "I think that the Chinese Communist Party should be mature enough to accept that in this country, unlike theirs, we actually do have things like rights of freedom of expression. If a National Party MP wants to attend World Falun Dafa Day in order to celebrate the practice, then they ought to be able to do so," he said. Amnesty International's Executive Director, Grant Bowden, said in a press release that the amnesty members around the world are working hard to stop the imprisonment and torture of Falun Gong practitioners. Rather than self-censoring its MPs in an attempt to please China, the New Zealand government should join the international call on China to respect freedom of religion. The NZ Falandafa Association warned in the statement that the country would be in danger of becoming nothing more than a subservient colonial outpost of the Chinese Communist Party if the MPs follow the email's instruction. Falun Gong, also known as Falandafa, includes the practice of slow-moving exercises and meditation and teachings with the core principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. The group has been persecuted by the Chinese regime since 1999.
A display of goodwill on Dam Square in the Netherlands. A crowd of tourists gathered around display boards depicting the brutal persecution of practitioners of Falun Gong, an ancient spiritual practice that originated in China. This was during a signature drive held by Falun Gong practitioners on Dam Square in Amsterdam, the capital of the Netherlands, on May 2, 2015. Through viewing the display and talking to practitioners, people learned how the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, has persecuted Falun Gong practitioners who live by the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. The regime has gone as far as harvesting organs from living practitioners. Many were shocked by the horrendous and barbaric atrocities of the CCP. They expressed their support for Falun Gong by signing a petition calling for an immediate end to the regime's crimes against humanity.
International Forum raises awareness of organ harvesting atrocities in China. Legal and medical professionals shared their findings regarding organ harvesting of prisoners of conscience in China at the Transplantation and Human Rights Forum in Bern, Switzerland on April 16th. Forum participants pledged to end the crime by continuing to increase international pressure on the Chinese regime and by using legal means outside of China to deter Chinese officials from participating in the atrocities. According to the organizer, the International Society for Human Rights, the purpose of the forum was to raise public awareness and offer a global platform for experts to discuss, identify, and execute solutions to put an end to this crime against humanity. Former Canadian diplomat David Kilgore and human rights lawyer David Mattis presented their investigations and concluded that from 2000 to 2005, at least 41,500 organs were harvested from Falun Gong practitioners, a peaceful spiritual group that has been brutally persecuted in China for the past 16 years. Mr. Kilgore and Mr. Mattis began their investigations in 2006, as soon as the news of live organ harvesting broke. At that time, the wife of a surgeon involved in harvesting Falun Gong practitioners' organs had come forward and publicly exposed the crime in Washington, D.C. Mr. Kilgore presented the status of worldwide efforts to bring about an end to China's forced organ harvesting, including the 2013 EU resolution, the 2014 motion of the Canadian Parliament, and the more than 2 million signatures collected over the past 3 years on a global petition calling for an investigation by the United Nations. Based on his 9 years of work on the subject, Mr. Kilgore said that the efforts to stop the crime are approaching a critical point where exponential results could completely end it at any time. Swiss Transplant, we must end this disaster of humanity. Calling China's forced organ harvesting crimes a disaster of humanity, Mr. Franz Immer, cardiovascular surgeon and CEO of Swiss Transplant, the Swiss National Foundation for Organ Donation and Transplantation, said that the foundation has been working with the European Parliament and the World Health Organization over the past 6 years to stop it. During my visit to Beijing in 2007, a hospital invited us to watch a heart transplant operation. The organizer asked us whether we would like to have the operation in the morning or in the afternoon, Mr. Immer explained. This means that the donor would die or be killed at a specified time at the convenience of the visitors. I refused to participate, he added. Falun Gong practitioners, suspicious physical examinations. Falun Gong practitioner Liu Wei's experience at Beijing Women's Forced Labor Camp correlates with Mr. Mattis and Mr. Kilgore's findings. During the 1.5 years of her incarceration there, she was subjected to 5 physical examinations, which included blood tests, ultrasound scan of organs, and questions about genetic diseases in her family. Ms. Liu was puzzled. Obviously, the guards at the labor camp were not so concerned about our health, as we were put through over 16 hours of forced labor every day, she noted. After she escaped to Germany, Ms. Liu learned about the organ harvesting of Falun Gong practitioners who make up the majority of prisoners of conscience in China. She said that she knew then that the purpose of all those physical examinations had to be for organ transplant purposes. David Mattis, Lies of Chinese Regime Go in Circles. Mr. Mattis stated that the Chinese regime's explanations of organ sources for transplantation surgeries have changed many times over the past decade. Although the gap between total transplants and voluntary donations has always been huge, the former Chinese Minister of Health, on behalf of the Chinese Communist Party, formally denied the use of organs from death row prisoners. He later recognized that they did harvest organs from executed prisoners and claimed death row prisoners as 90% of the organ source. The ratio then was reduced to 65%, then to less than 20% in his 2014 statement. He currently claims that no organs were forcibly taken from death row prisoners and that all the organs from prisoners were voluntarily donated. Yet the gap between the number of death row prisoners and the total number of transplants is still unexplained. Based on 9 years of ongoing investigations, Mattis and Kilgore conclude that the vast majority can only be from Falun Gong prisoners of conscience. The quick rise in transplant surgeries correlates with the persecution of Falun Gong, when hundreds of thousands of practitioners are arrested and thrown into detention centers, prisons, and forced labor camps. Mr. Mattis pointed out that Chinese liver transplant statistics stopped being made public after he and Mr. Kilgore quoted them in their reports. The statistics are now only available after a password login. 9 national-level and 11 provincial-level military hospitals are credited for the majority of all recent organ transplants. The major role of military hospitals in organ harvesting is another key fact that the party has since been trying to cover up, according to Mr. Mattis. Law professor, bring criminal charges against involved party officials. Professor Gerhard Daneker, director of the Institute for German, European, and International Criminal Law and Criminal Procedure Law at the University of Heidelberg, presented the jurisdiction and application of criminal laws against the illicit organ trade. He said that if a Chinese Communist Party official involved in organ harvesting enters Germany, and if a victim of crimes related to organ harvesting is a German citizen, criminal charges can be brought against the official. Even if the official claims diplomatic immunity, the lawsuit would serve as a deterrent to those who are still participating in these crimes. Swiss Member of Parliament Margaret Kessler, president of the Swiss Patients Association, said that the forced organ harvesting was an absolute disaster. She said that she would keep raising the issue among politicians. In addition to this forum, the International Society for Human Rights also plans to establish an expert committee to further raise awareness of the issue.
Celebrating Falun Dafa Day at the University of Michigan. Falun Gong practitioners in Ann Arbor celebrated Falun Dafa Day on the University of Michigan campus on May 2, 2015. They did the exercises together and then mounted a photo display that featured Falun Gong being practiced around the world and shots detailing the persecution of Falun Gong in China. It was a commencement week, and many graduates and their families were on campus. Fascinated by the beautiful group exercise, they stopped to watch. At one point, the practitioners gathered in front of the Rackham Building, where Master Li had given a lecture during the Great Lakes Fa Conference in 2000 and had their photo taken, with their palms together in front of their chests. In a gesture of respect, they said in unison, "Falun Dafa is great. Happy birthday, Master. Greetings on World Falun Dafa Day." Learning the Falun Gong exercises. Two sisters happened by the group exercises. The younger one asked if she could participate. When told, of course, she immediately took off her graduation gown and followed along until the exercises were completed. A graduate of the School of Music said she felt a great sense of energy. She also participated and said she felt great afterwards. She thanked the practitioners for giving her such a remarkable opportunity. An Indian couple passed by during the fourth exercise. The husband said he could feel the energy from the top of his head to his feet. He took some introductory materials with him and planned to learn Falun Gong in India. He had heard about it in his home country, but today's experience convinced him to learn it. A Chinese family told practitioners that they would read the informational materials and quit the Chinese Communist Party to be safe. The father said he had done so already. Several Chinese visitors thanked the practitioners and took pictures of their group exercise. A group exercise site for 20 years. The exercise site at the University of Michigan was established 20 years ago. Falun Gong practitioner Mr. Xu said, "Many people did the exercises at the Chinese school before July 1999. Only a few remained after the persecution was launched. Some people laughed at us. Some were sympathetic, but dared not approach us. Some tried to have the university administration shut down our site. But we know that Falun Gong is righteous. Our strong faith helped us through that difficult time. More and more people joined us along the way." Mr. Xu added, 16 years have passed since the persecution began. As in other places around the world, more and more exercise sites have been established in Michigan.
Liaoning court strangles attorney protesting mistreatment of client. After a defense attorney demanded that court officials stop physically mistreating his client, four bailiffs dragged him out of the room, pressed him down on the floor, and put him in a chokehold until he lost consciousness. When he came to, one bailiff shouted, "What we did to you is called law enforcement." The attorney, Mr. Dong, was not the only one removed during the fourth hearing of the joint trial of three Falun Gong practitioners for their beliefs. Ms. Wang, another defense lawyer, was also kicked out after protesting the assault on Mr. Dong. A third lawyer, Mr. Zhu Wanqing, terminated his representation of his client in protest after the judge refused to dismiss evidence obtained through torture. The other three defense attorneys joined Mr. Dong and Ms. Wang to file a complaint with the procuratorate. However, they were redirected to the 610 office, an extra-legal agency created by the communist regime for the sole purpose of suppressing Falun Gong practitioners in China. To carry out the task, the 610 office has the power to override police and judicial organs. Defendant physically restrained. This scene took place at the Xinhe Court in Liaoning Province on April 22, 2015. The three Falun Gong practitioners being tried were Ms. Li Dongchu, Ms. Gao Qingchun, and Mr. Yu Ming. As the six defense lawyers took their seats in the courtroom, they noted that their clients did not appear together in front of the judge as they had in the last three hearings. The three practitioners were called into the courtroom one by one to listen to charges against them. By law, however, all defendants in the same joint trial should be present at the same time. Ms. Li, a financial analyst for China National Petroleum Corporation, questioned the judge why the three defendants were being tried separately this time. The judge ignored her. When Ms. Li repeated her question in a hoarse voice and tried to stand up, four male bailiffs rushed up and continually pressed her down to the floor, making her cry out from pain. Shocked by the scene, the six defense lawyers moved for a recess. Abused during police interrogation. Ms. Li's lawyer, Mr. Dong, stood up and said to the judge, "When my client was under interrogation, officers removed all of her clothes, slapped her face, and threatened to shock her private parts with electric batons. And now officers are mistreating my client like this, even in front of prosecutors and lawyers," Mr. Dong added. "How can this be acceptable?" The presiding judge, Jiao Yuling, only banged his gavel and ordered, "Lawyer Dong, sit down." Mr. Dong continued, "My client is emotionally unstable. The hearing should not proceed like this." "Out," Zhao interrupted him. Four bailiffs rushed toward Mr. Dong and dragged him out of the courtroom. When lawyer Wang Yu alleged that such actions were illegal, Judge Zhao ordered bailiffs to remove her from the courtroom too. Third defendant beaten, tortured. Practitioner Yu Ming, a clothing factory owner, talked about the physical and mental torture he had experienced during detention, where officers brutally beat him and pricked his fingernails with safety pins. When defense lawyers demanded to exclude the evidence illegally obtained through torture, Judge Liu Yong ignored the request. History of violence. Xinhe Court's physical abuse of defendants were highlighted in earlier reports. For the three practitioners' third hearing on January 20, 2015, Yu and Li's mothers attended the trial. One was knocked unconscious by bailiffs and the other was dragged out by her hair. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.